Welcome back, everybody, to the Deep Dive. This time, we're taking a close look at the case of URI v. Kleber County, uranium mining, a county in Texas that's not too happy about it, and a settlement agreement. What could possibly go wrong?
Oh, this is a classic example. Really shows how contract language, even something that seems straightforward, can turn into a big legal mess, especially when you're talking environmental regulations.
So set the scene for us. What was the situation in Kleber County that led to this whole legal battle?
Okay, so rewind back to the 1980s. URI gets permission to mine uranium at a place called the Kingsville Dome Mine. Naturally, the locals are concerned. I mean, uranium mining, there's always that worry about the environmental impact.
Right, of course.
So things get put on hold, and eventually, in 2004, they come up with this settlement agreement between URI and Kleber County, trying to find that balance between, you know, economic development and protecting the environment.
So this agreement was supposed to be the green light for URI to start mining again. What were the main points of contention?
Exactly. The agreement laid out these specific conditions URI had to meet before they could fire up the mine again. And a big one, a really big one, had to do with water quality. Before they could mine in a new area, 90% of the wells in a previously mined area had to be restored, back to their pre-mining water quality.
Pre-mining water quality, huh? Sounds simple enough on the surface. So where did things go off the rails?
Ah, well, you see, the agreement, it didn't actually define pre-mining water quality. And guess what? There were two sets of data floating around from before the mining started, one from 1985 and another from 1987. And they painted, shall we say, different pictures of the water quality.
Oh, boy. So we've got data discrepancies. I bet each side wanted to use the data that made them look better, huh?
Bingo. URI, not surprisingly, they liked averaging the 1985 data with the 1987 data. Made it seem like they didn't have to do as much to restore one, well, in particular, well, I-11. But Kleber County, they were adamant. Using the 1987 data, breach of contract, plain and simple.
So, off to court they went. Did the courts agree with Kleber County's take on the agreement?
At first, yep. Both the trial court and the appeals court sided with Kleber County. URI breached the agreement, they said, by using that 1987 data. Victory for Kleber County, right? Protecting the environment.
So that was it. Case closed. URI had to restore the well based on the older data.
Hold on. Not so fast. This is where things take a turn. The Texas Supreme Court steps in and, well, they flip the script.
A Supreme Court reversal. Okay, now I'm really interested. Why did the Supreme Court decide to side with URI? What was their reasoning?
They went all in on a strict interpretation of the contract. The agreement, it just said the wells had to be restored to how they were before mining began. Didn't specify which before data to use. So the Supreme Court, they said URI didn't breach anything.
Interesting. So even if it seems logical to use the earliest data, the court stuck to what the contract literally said.
Exactly. And they made it crystal clear, even throwing in this quote in their decision. Objective manifestations of intent control, not what one side or the other alleges they intended to say but did not.
Wow. So basically they were saying, if it wasn't written down, we can't even consider it.
Precisely. Textbook example of why careful drafting is absolutely crucial in contract law. What you don't say can be just as important as what you do say.
This brings up a question. If the agreement wasn't clear on which data to use, why couldn't Kleber County bring in evidence from the settlement negotiations, you know, to show what they really meant by pre-mining water quality? Wouldn't that have cleared things up?
You've hit on a really important point. It takes us straight to this legal principle, the parole evidence rule.
Okay, let's unpack that. What is that all about?
Basically, it puts limits on using evidence from outside the contract to change or contradict what's clearly written in the contract itself, the lower courts. They kind of messed up by relying on that outside evidence to try and change the agreement.
So Kleber County couldn't just say, well, we meant this, and expect the court to rewrite the contract for them.
Nope, not a chance. Now, to be fair, the court did say that you can use extrinsic evidence, you know, stuff from outside the contract, to clarify language that's genuinely ambiguous. But in this case, they didn't think it was ambiguous enough to need anything beyond what was actually written in the agreement.
This is fascinating. A real lesson in making sure every possible scenario is thought through when you're drafting a contract.
Absolutely. URI v. Kleber County. It's a cautionary tale about how important clarity and precision are in contract language, especially when you're dealing with something as complex as environmental regulations.
What happened next? Did Kleber County get anything out of all of this? Did URI actually end up having to restore the well?
Well, before the Supreme Court got involved, the lower courts did rule in Kleberg County's favor. Yeah, they even awarded them a tiny bit of damages, like $20 or something. And yeah. They told you, all right, go ahead and restore that well I-11 based on the 1985 data.
$20? That's hardly a consolation prize, even with the order to restore the well.
You're right. More like a symbolic victory. But the thing is, all that got tossed out when the Supreme Court reversed everything. No breach of contract, no damages, no mandatory well restoration.
So a very short-lived victory for Kleberg County. I can't imagine they were happy about that. What about legal fees? I remember they asked URI to cover their costs because of all the litigation.
Yep, they did. But see, in Texas, you can only get your attorney's fees covered if you actually win a breach of contract claim. Since the Supreme Court said, nope, no breach, Kleberg County had to pay their own legal bills.
Ouch, that's rough.
Mm-hmm.
Really emphasizes how a seemingly small detail, like not defining a key term, can have huge consequences.
Huge. And it really drives home the point that you need to think through every possible interpretation of a contract before you sign it, especially with something as complex as environmental rules and regulations.
Makes you wonder, is this strict interpretation thing common in environmental law cases?
Hard to say if it's common, but it definitely shows how important it is to be crystal clear in those environmental agreements. It's easy to fall into the trap of assuming everyone's on the same page, you know, good intentions and all. But this case proves that the court will stick to the letter of the law no matter what.
What are some takeaways from this whole situation for people who aren't lawyers or involved in contract writing? It seems like there are lessons here that apply to a lot of different situations.
Great point. This case highlights the importance of clear communication in any agreement or negotiation, really, whether it's a business deal, a lease, even an informal understanding between friends or family. Being super specific with your words can prevent misunderstandings and conflicts down the road.
So it's not enough to just have a general idea of what you want. You have to make sure everyone clearly understands and that it's explicitly written down, no matter how formal or informal the agreement.
100%. URI v. Kleberg County is a prime example of how unspoken assumptions can turn into expensive disagreements. Things left unsaid, just as important as what's spelled out.
And when in doubt, get some legal advice from an expert, Ray.
Couldn't agree more, especially when it comes to protecting the environment. The stakes are high.
So, stepping back from this specific case, what are the broader implications for environmental law and how we regulate things? There's this constant back and forth between development and conservation. Does this case suggest that economic interests trump environmental concerns?
That's a tough one. This case definitely highlights the challenges of balancing different interests when you're talking about environmental protection. On one hand, we need clear regulations to protect people's health and the environment, right? On the other, if regulations get too strict, it can stifle economic growth.
A delicate balance, for sure. Cases like this might make people worry that companies can find loopholes in contracts to avoid environmental responsibility.
It's a valid concern. It emphasizes the need for strong oversight and enforcement. Agreements are only as good as their implementation. We need to hold companies accountable for the environmental promises they make.
So, what can we do to prevent these kinds of contract disputes in the future? What lessons can we learn from URI v. Kleberg County?
A key takeaway for me is the importance of getting everyone involved from the start, industry people, regulators, and the local community. If they work together from the beginning, maybe they can come up with agreements that are clear, thorough, and protect both the environment and the economy.
Sounds like open communication and transparency are crucial to avoid these legal battles. In the end, a healthy environment benefits everyone.
I couldn't agree more.
It really seems like that upfront communication is key here. If everyone understands each other from the get-go, maybe we can avoid these long, drawn-out legal fights over contract language that nobody's quite sure about.
You got it. And it goes beyond just avoiding lawsuits. It's about a more collaborative approach to environmental protection. When industry folks, government agencies, and communities, when they all work together, we can find solutions that balance, you know, economic development with being responsible stewards of our resources.
This whole deep dive has been really eye-opening. Contract law, the importance of clear communication, the challenges of balancing environmental protection with economic interests. Amazing how one case, URI v. Kleberg County, can bring up so many important questions.
I've really enjoyed breaking this down with you. It really shows how the law is constantly evolving and changing to fit new situations. And, you know, it reminds us that these legal decisions can have a ripple effect, shaping how things are done and what policies are made in the future.
So for our listeners out there, lawyers, law students, or just anyone who cares about the environment, what are some key takeaways from URI v. Kleber County? What can we do to prevent these kinds of disputes from happening again and again?
The biggest lesson: be super careful when you're drafting contracts. Define those key terms, think about potential disagreements before they happen, and don't leave anything to chance. And if there's even a shred of doubt, get some expert legal advice. Don't try to go it alone.
Clear communication, doing your homework, and working together proactively. Those are the signs of good environmental agreements and responsible development.
Absolutely. And as we've seen, those ideas apply to all sorts of agreements and negotiations, not just those dealing with environmental issues.
Well said. This deep dive into URI v. Kleber County has been a fascinating journey. It reminds us that the law is a powerful tool that we can use to protect our environment. But, you know, it's on us to use it wisely and effectively. Thanks for joining us, everyone, and we'll catch you next time on The Deep Dive.